And now, here is Dr. Coben with today's edition of Liberty Minute.
Have you been wondering what a neoconservative is? This is Dr. John Coben with Liberty Minutes. Nowadays, a lot of people are throwing around the word neocon. One may frequently hear it used on my radio talk show, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, both by me and the callers to my radio program. And you often read it in conservative and libertarian columns. But just what is a neocon anyway? In 2003, Irving Kristol, the godfather of the neoconservatives, or neocons, argued that neoconservatism is a persuasion or an intellectual undercurrent that only intermittently or erratically manifests itself over time. It is therefore not a movement. According to Kristol, the historical task and political purpose of neoconservatism is to convert the Republican Party and American conservatism in general into a new kind of conservative politics suitable to governing a modern democracy. He continues, neoconservatism is hopeful, not lugubrious, forward-looking, not nostalgic, and its general tone is cheerful, not grim or dyspeptic. Their heroes tend to be the improbable trinity of Teddy Roosevelt, Franklin D. Roosevelt, and Ronald Reagan. While worthies as Calvin Coolidge, Herbert Hoover, Dwight Eisenhower, and Barry Goldwater are politely overlooked. Kristol believes that neoconservative policies reaching out beyond the traditional political and financial base have helped to make the very idea of political conservatism more acceptable to a majority of American voters. One may find many helpful definitions or descriptions of neoconservatism on the Internet. For instance, www.wikipedia.org has a rather extensive encyclopedic entry. Neocon refers to the political goals and ideology of the new American conservatives, who often come from liberal or socialist backgrounds. They are characterized by an aggressive stance on foreign policy, a lesser social conservatism, and weaker dedication to a policy of minimal government. The term neocon is sometimes used pejoratively, especially by the self-described paleoconservatives, that is, true conservatives or paleocons and constitutionalists, and many libertarians who oppose neoconservatism from the political right. Neocon is a label often applied to journalists, pundits, policy analysts, and institutions affiliated with the Project for the New American Century, as well as to publications such as Commentary and the Weekly Standard. Neocons are often the focus of criticism for the support of the 2003 invasion of Iraq. The Christian Science Monitor even has a neocon quiz online to help people find out whether or not they are a neocon. It is a helpful exercise to take the 10-question quiz, and I would encourage you to do so. Not surprisingly, the quiz pegged me as being an isolationist allied with libertarians and anti-globalists. Calvin Coolidge and Pat Buchanan are supposed to be my heroes, but Thomas Jefferson, or any anti-federalist, and Stonewall Jackson would be better choices. Conversely, the results interpretation section says that neocons want the U.S. to be the world's unchallenged superpower, share unwavering support for Israel, support American unilateral action, support preemptive strikes to remove perceived threats to U.S. security, promote the development of an American empire, equate American power with the potential for world peace, seek to democratize the Arab world, and push regime change in states deemed threats to the U.S. or its allies. So then, a neoconservative is basically a liberal who wears conservative clothing. He represents a move toward expansionist foreign policy and gun control. He supports moderate Republican presidents like George W. Bush, who, in line with the political philosophy of Alexander Hamilton, Henry Clay, Abraham Lincoln, and Teddy Roosevelt, strive to help business and to expand scientific endeavors with government aid. A neocon may be soft on abortion and accepting of alternative lifestyles. Just note the difference between neocon Dick Cheney's broad-mindedness towards his lesbian daughter's lifestyle versus the unflinching response that paleocon Alan Keyes has made towards his 19-year-old lesbian daughter. Neocons are clearly softer on social issues than true conservatives. However, neocons are careful to give adequate lip service to traditional family values in order to appease the feisty Christian right. The perniciousness of neoconservatism should be obvious to anyone on the right. Its subtlety makes its influence more dangerous than the left's. Regrettably, many well-meaning Christians hold to some or many neocon views without realizing it. Even a couple of my fellow Times Examiner columnists embrace neocon ideals. Christian neocons end up working against the cause of truth and liberty while thinking that they are supporting right things. Examples of neocon policies coddled by many Christians include support for public schools, Social Security, Homeland Security, and George W. Bush's foreign policies. But are most Christian Republicans neocons? Well, like any other social group, most Christians are simply ignorant and would not be able to tell you what they are. They simply follow the lead of the piper, and they often feel forced into pragmatism. Better to have a neocon Bush than a liberal Kerry, without realizing that both candidates are liberal under the skin. Neocons have had the unexpected consequence of, first, driving true conservatives out of the Republican Party and into third parties, and second, increasing the possibilities for forging a stronger alliance between the Constitution Party and the right wing of the Libertarian Party, pro-life libertarians in particular. Neocons will likely cause either a split in the Republican Party or a migration from it to genuinely right-wing third parties. And either of those events could prove to be the best thing to happen to American politics in a long time. And this has been Dr. John Coben with Liberty Minutes. To find out more about Liberty Minutes, please visit www.policyofliberty.net.